Finally, my third heading, spreading the Dharma. The Dharma is so urgently needed. So many people could respond if it was available to them. So many people, as it were, are starving for lack of contact with the Dharma. We have benefited so much. I'm sure I can say that in an audience like this. We're all here to express our gratitude and appreciation of Bhante. We've all benefited so much from his teaching. We've benefited so much from the Dharma. And if we really realize how much we've benefited, well, we'll feel gratitude and we'll want to make it available to others. That's really the best way we can express our gratitude, by spreading the Dharma to others. And we could do so much more to reach out to new people throughout the world. And we've been thinking that perhaps we need to reorganize ourselves, at least to some extent, so that we can spread the Dharma more effectively. I think the chairman collectively and others, the presidents, need to give this urgent consideration. Are we really getting out? Are we really using the resources we've got as effectively as we can to reach as many people as we could? I'm pretty sure myself that we could be using our resources more effectively to communicate with many more people. And I'm very glad in this connection that in the UK now there is a full-time, or there will be from the 1st of January, a full-time secretary to the chairman's meeting, Surana, the very, very capable Surana, who's been the mastermind behind this wonderful and, as Bhante said, efficiently organised event. So I'm very pleased indeed that he'll be taking up that responsibility, and I hope that he will be helping the chairman to organise so that we are spreading the Dharma much more effectively, especially in the United Kingdom, getting those 500 order members out to spread the Dhamma. One resource that very immediately needs attention is the Dhammacharini. There are many centres in the UK and elsewhere that have no Dhammacharinis. Now, one of the basic principles that Bhante has taught us and that we will continue to uphold faithfully is the idea that, generally speaking, close friendship and spiritual guidance is likely to come from members of one's own sex. Women, on the whole, need other women as friends and teachers. Men need other men. Of course, not always, not everyone, and it's not that men can't benefit from women and women from men. But it's generally true. It's generally more effective. It's certainly safer. So women coming to those centres need women to guide them. Well, there are more than 150 Dhammacharinis in the UK, and we somehow need to arrange things, to facilitate things, so that their Dhammacharini power is more evenly distributed. In this connection, I should say how delighted I am that two Dhammacharinis, Gunasiddhi and Satyapada, are setting a precedent. They're off to set up a centre in Inverness. And I think this is the first time that Dhammacharinis alone have gone to set up a centre. And I'm sure that before long, they'll be complaining that no Dhammacharis are there to look after the men. So, we've been thinking about this. We want to think about it much more. We certainly urge the Dhammacharinis collectively to think about it even more. Over the next months and years, we will be discussing how we can be more effective in spreading the Dharma. Can we provide more support, both moral and even material? But in the end, it's a matter of personal initiative. We must feel strongly enough the urge to take the Dharma to others. We must realise deeply enough how much we have benefited. We will then do what we can, whether in our own persons or by supporting others. Of course, expansion must always be on the basis of deepening. We're not merely communicating words. We're not merely setting up an organisation. We're communicating a spirit. And we need to have imbibed that spirit for ourselves, the spirit of friendship, the spirit of the Dhamma, the spirit of deep meditation. It depends ultimately on personal effort and dedication. But it also depends on supportive conditions. Everyone who's been on retreat will know what I mean. Supportive conditions mean situations in which one can come into vigorous and inspiring contact with others on the basis of the Dharma. Apart from on retreats, such situations are found in single-sex communities and team-based right livelihood businesses. Of course, not everyone can or wants to involve themselves in these, and it's not obligatory. Not everyone indeed even benefits, and they don't always work as well as they should. But in general, those who live and work in them make noticeable progress. It's something that one sees very clearly working in an ordination process. One sees that people working and living in those situations really have so much wind in their sails. It's generally easier to make an effort if you are in those sort of circumstances. Those who are not in them are not necessarily not going to make progress, but they have to rely much more on their own personal efforts. Even those who do not live in or work in such situations benefit from their existence. And they are the core of the movement, together with our centres. They provide the essential support to the living of the spiritual life. Expansion of the movement needs to be closely accompanied by these institutions that support intensification and depth. And we will continue to emphasise these, continue to uphold them. We will encourage their formation where they do not already exist. There are several places in the movement where they're sadly lacking, and their absence is noticeable in the general atmosphere. Well, there's so much more I could say under this heading of expansion. And when I was preparing this talk, I was beginning to build up a head of steam that I realised was a whole other talk. But yes, you'll just have to see what emerges over the coming years. But I do want to make one final point here. The FWBO emerged in England out of the alternative society, or rather, most of us coming into it emerged out of the alternative society. Bhante certainly didn't, although he dipped his toes in it. And most of us coming to the movement saw ourselves as moving aside from straight society, from conventional society. And of course, in many ways, that was a positive movement of renunciation. It was from that those wonderful institutions I've already talked of came. But we need to have a stronger impact on society as a whole, not just on the fringes, not just on those who think of themselves as part of an alternative. It struck me that this is something we need to address much more fully. We need to identify ourselves even more fully as part of general society. Not that that means we just join in, that we seek conventional acceptance. What we have to do is address the very strong need that there is in modern culture for values, for real values, for genuine values. It strikes me more and more strongly that there's a very great vacuum in modern culture. Buddhism has a lot to offer by way of clarity about life's purpose and about moral principles that are especially relevant today, and the FWBO offers them in a particularly cogent form. We must make sure that the Buddhist voice is heard more clearly and loudly in society as a whole. And we will certainly be thinking about encouraging work in this area.